Episode 431, ladies and gentlemen, features Shakara shutting down due to speaking out allegations. Whoa, let's go. PNP Nation, Wrench Mob, are you ready? Let's do this thing. Let's go!
Radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the
power of pancakes.
It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Episode 431, ladies and gentlemen, Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I'm Chris Featherstone. As always, we are live and living, Culligan, funky like a monkey, if you will. I'm super excited to be on the show tonight. For those who missed last week or something like that, the new time is 11:30, from 11:30 to 1. It used to be from 11 to 1. Now it's 11:30 to 1 for us to have a good time. I actually had a pretty solid, pretty sweet deal to actually have a lucrative opportunity to take my interviews over to Sportskeeda. So all of my interviews from now on will be Sportskeeda at 11 o'clock. So from 11:30, I'll be with Sportskeeda. from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. I will be back in the saddle with the Pancakes of Power Slam show. If you missed it, had a really awesome interview, bro, with Vince Russo, bro. Great Q&A, great conversations, great chat. It was he brought a lot of things. I didn't know he felt that way toward AEW. That was really, really interesting. And I can echo a lot of his sentiments. AEW is definitely growing on me. I was I spoke out against AEW, as a lot of you know, as far as just what I thought about it. But it's been going on me a lot lately. Plus, I got some friends over there, good buddies with Lance Archer. So that's my guy. And so, yeah, I'm cool with it, man. If anything, it's a great opportunity for Lance Archer, and I'm super supportive of that dude. He's been busting his butt for so long, and you know, he made it to a really good, solid. Of course, he's been in WWE before, but he wasn't utilized well at all there. And you know, of course, you know, former NWA Tag Team Champion. So in TNA, he was used decently, but this Murder Hawk monster is. He's in his wheelhouse now. He, you know, this is his space. This is his space. And so I'm glad he got a really good opportunity in AEW. And being managed by Jake Roberts is one of the greatest promo guy, one of the greatest minds of all time. Definitely makes it better. PNP Nation, what's going on? Yep, buddies with Brian Cage as well. Yep, and he's over there too. All right. Let's see. PNP Nation, it's time to have some fun. So we're going to do a lot of Ask Chris questions tonight. And the flavor of the week, I want to talk about I want to go through all of Taker's WrestleManias. All right. All of Taker's WrestleMania matches. And we're going to see if this was the right call for a particular match. I wrote an article on Sports Kita recently, and it was about five WrestleMania matches that actually should not have happened, should have been changed. So, that is what we are going to talk about tonight as well. All right. Of course, hashtag Ask Chris questions. And what do y'all have? It's a wonderful night tonight. Lots of fun. My birthday is Thursday. Last year, my birthday was actually on a Tuesday. I think we actually had the show on my birthday. And let's see. Let me check and see. I'm going to check and see. I think it was on my birthday, last year. And I think, yes. So last year I had, Khan on. Trinesha Khan, formerly known as Rocker Khan. So I had her on last year on my birthday. So, yeah. Was it my birthday? I think it was my birthday. Or it might have been, because it says July the 3rd. Let me check. It was episode 379. So let me check and see. It was July 3rd. No, it was July 2nd. It was July 2nd. It was the end of July 2nd. So technically it was, yeah. Yeah, so it was on my birthday. So, yeah, my birthday is on Thursday. Hashtag Ask Chris. Mo, my guy. Mo, look. Mo, we're going to have to talk, man, because I'm going to need some people on the promo team. All right. So, because it's just getting too out of hand as far as my schedule. You're here for the free t-shirt, Eric. You have to become, see, that's perfect. Got to be part of Patreon for that. And there you go. See, there you go. That's how you do it, man. Mo, you are the man. Yeah, I got to have you a part of my promo team because, man, you know, it's getting too much for me. Lonzo, Lonzo's a regular. Always great to have you, Lonzo. Yeah, Killer Tim Brooks. Thoughts and prayers. Prayers go out to the family and friends of Killer Tim Brooks. He passed away. It's early 70s, I believe, like 73 or so. So prayers go out to the family. Where's the pancake? See, Dion, first of all, welcome Dion to the show. Welcome Dion to the PMP family. Okay, so where are the pancakes? You let me know. All right. I love me some pancakes. I actually made some really good waffles last weekend. I love cooking brunch after church on Sundays for my family. I have a wife, beautiful, like super hot wife, and three kids. And I make brunch for them a lot of times Saturdays, but certainly Sundays typically. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to fix some blueberry and banana waffles, some blueberry and banana waffles. And it was good. It was good because I had a few bananas and they were starting to get bruised is what you call it when they start to get black spots on it on the outside and start to get bruised. And I was like, you know what, man, I got to use these bananas before. I don't want to throw them away. I want to use them. I bought my wife a big fancy refrigerator that's like a built-in tablet. Goes to show how amazing of a husband I am. But I bought her a nice, real nice refrigerator, stainless steel. And it has like a tablet built into it. You can go to like recipes and stuff. And so I was looking to see what recipes I can use for bananas. And I saw this nice recipe. It was frozen banana peanut butter graham cracker sandwiches. And they were pretty good. I put them together and made the mixture, smeared it on there, froze it. And everybody liked them. So, but yeah, so I like putting banana in my pancakes too. And I like putting banana and blueberries in my pancakes too. Good stuff. All right, so here we go. Lonzo, what are your thoughts on the rumor of WWE going to release Velveteen Dream? I think I talked about this last week a little bit. I think it might be the best PR move for Dream to be released. Sadly, it's sad to me because Dream was one of my favorite wrestlers in all of WWE, especially NXT. But I get it though. I have an undergrad in PR, so I get it. I totally get it. So if they let him go, I get that it's a PR move. I get they gotta protect themselves. And that's what you got to go. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm about to be a doctor in forensic psychology, so I'm very big on the courts. That's what forensics mean, of the courts. And so I just talk about a lot. I just study a lot. I'm an innocent until proven guilty person. And the court of social justice warriors, the court of public opinion, has typically superseded any type of formulaic process. And, you know, people just quit or, as we're about to talk about, your car shutting down altogether. But I did follow the tweets about Velveteen Dream and people actually posting pictures of his messages and things like that. So I think that, unfortunately, there's enough evidence based on if those pictures are true. You know, of course, there could be the defense of, well, they were photoshopped, but there could be a defense. I mean, there could be an offense or a prosecution, so to speak, and a proof of the messages being timestamped and all that good stuff, too. And so I think, unfortunately, right now, there's more evidence in favor of the people, or the particular person and people who are alleging speaking out or the harassment from Velveteen Dream. Again, I don't know any of this. I can't confirm or deny anything. So I'm not going to put myself into that. I'm just giving you a mere journalistic opinion. I think that there's enough evidence. It seems like there's enough evidence to make that decision and let him go, which is so sad because, you know, the whole Patrick Clark thing, tough enough, didn't really work out for him. Then he became some type of patriotic dude. That didn't work out either. Velveteen Dream was the character for him, and it really fit his. It was good. He really molded it really well too. Still didn't give him the title, which was still a surprise, but yeah, really interesting. Yeah, Marissa, we talked about this last week. I know you had to cut out early, so I'll talk about this in short. So as far as Undertaker retiring, I think it's a good call. I always, you know, I still stand by. Should have been 28. Should have been 28. That still bugs me. And something is bugging me right now. So hold tight. Let me fix my curtain. I'll be right back. All right, that was random, but I feel much better now. I had to fix my curtain. My curtain was getting on my nerves. All right. So, do I think AJ Styles was the right person to retire him? I think it was good. I think it was a good call. I liked it. Following the documentary. You're a weekly watcher. You're a weekly viewer of the Pancakes and Power Sam show. You knew that I was initially apprehensive toward this. I wanted The Undertaker to retire and stay retired after 28. But the documentary really made it make sense to me as far as just he really wanted to feel like he was going out satisfied. And I think who better to do it than AJ? I mean, come on, who better to do it than AJ? As far as making him feel satisfied with this last match. And I think he has every right to do that. I mean, he's been in the WWE. He's been loyal in the WWE for 30 years. A 30-year loyal WWE guy straight, 30 years straight. I mean, he didn't like go to WCW or Impact or whatever other rival promotion and come back. The Undertaker was one of the only people other than someone like a Shawn Michaels, you know, Mark Henry since 95, around 95, 96. Even Kane when he came in 97, you know, he was Isaac Yankum and he had some ups and downs with, you know, with like Smoky Mountain and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really, really interesting that I personally think that he deserves every right to make that type of call, being loyal to the company through the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the Monday night wars and all of that. He has every right to do that. I'm totally cool with that. And if he wants to leave on a good note, on a satisfactory note, he deserves it. I mean, he's been wrestling. He's been loyal for 30 years. And so I was cool with it. And again, who better to do it than AJ? Because, you know, he's one of the best wrestlers, arguably the best wrestler in the world. And he would have, and he did a very good job at it, protecting Taker, making sure that his weak spots aren't highlighted, accentuating his positives. The Boneyard match was such a blessing in disguise because documentary, you know, was talking about how he was just planning on doing a mat wrestling match. So even that would have been even more of a reason why it should have been AJ if he would have done a mat wrestling match. But the Boneyard match was just a perfect way to end his career, and then riding off in the sunset. It was perfect, man. It was good. It was. I resent my statement as far as Undertaker versus AJ. I resent the statement because I think that the Boneyard match was good. While I was watching it, I was here live watching it with three of my really good friends, and watching it real time, I wasn't as big on it in the beginning. And toward the end, I was like, okay, I can rock with this. I can rock with this. And then watching it again, I was like, yeah, this is good. This is good. I'm totally cool with that. Hey, yo. Russ says, Robbie, if you want to say happy birthday, say hey, yo. Yeah, I like it. Good stuff. I do share a birthday with Bret Hart. I do. Absolutely. Let's see what else we got. PNP Nation. I see some Ask Chris questions. So good stuff. Yes, he has been in a car accident lately. He was in a car accident, so I definitely wish the best as far as his recovery is concerned, for sure. Marissa's asking, have you heard about the rumors that some people have the virus in WWE? I heard Brene Young has it, and Braxton had it twice. Yes, Caleb Braxton had it twice. Renee has it. We were talking, Russo and I were just talking about that. There's, you know, upwards of 30 cases. So I'm actually going to save this. And we're going to talk about it a bit later, during the headlines. All right, let's see what else we have. Yes, I did. That should be fun. Slammiversary should be cool. I know they, you know, Tessa, we'll talk about Tessa. You know, there were some issues going on with her. And then some other releases because of speaking out. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's some rough, you know, there's some tough, you know, kind of kinks in the armor, you know. Or chinks in the armor. And I think Slammiversary should make things better. Should be a kind of like a revival, so to speak, for Impact. Because I mean, Impact is solid. I mean, their wrestling is solid, but just the star power to me just isn't as strong as I like it to be, as it used to be. And I just wish that they had a little bit more star power, like in the main event. I know you got Elgin, well, he's gone, you know, like an Ace Austin, Eddie Edwards, you know, they're still pretty high on the list. But I follow the results and things like that, but yeah. I mean, I wish they had a little bit more star power, drawing power. And I think that acquisitions such as Anderson and Gallows, you know, Eric Young is rumored. Drake Maverick was rumored, but obviously Spud, Rockstar Spud. EC3 is rumored. So I think if you kind of go back to that, that would kind of cause, I definitely think that would draw people to want to know about Slammiversary, or at least know the results of Slammiversary. If you bring in, and then Miro, which is Rusev's real name, Miroslav is going to go by Miro. So with Rusev coming in, rumored, Anderson and Gallows, Eric Young, EC3, I think that would draw some eyes to Impact that hasn't that haven't been there for a while. So I think that's a good call from Impact to invest in that kind of mass invasion, so to speak. I think that would definitely draw some heads back to the product. All right, let's see. What I think should happen at NXT UK? Some say it should be eliminated while some might be shifted to other WWE brands. Well, as far as I heard, they're going to keep doing it. They're going back to taping. And I heard that there was possibly a rumor of it's going to close down because a lot of people, because of the speaking out allegations. I just heard Joe Coffey was, I think he was let go from NXT UK, from WWE because of it. So I think there's enough people there to make it. He's suspended. He's actually suspended. So I mean, there's enough people there to still make it a solid brand. Still with NXT UK too, I still think that there should be stronger star power. Now Walter's super strong. It's weird to make Imperium tag team champions of NXT and not NXT UK. That was weird to me. I get it that, you know, they had to, because of the travel bans and all that stuff, I get it. And they'll be even tougher now because Europe is banning US from traveling because we don't got no sense. And Corona, the second wave of Corona is coming as expected. You know, wash your hands. If you got a cough, if you got a sneeze, stay home. And I'm an advocate of, like, man, you know, I work in a mental health facility and I talk to nurses and they're like, you know what, a mask, useless. So, I mean, you know, and I've seen some studies that go both ways, you know, from doctors. And so I'm not too big on it. But I personally think that I definitely am an advocate of social distancing. I think, you know, give me 6 feet, you know what I mean? And just to make sure, you know, the coronavirus isn't some type of ghost that jumps on from people to people, you know, droplets and things like that is how it's transferred. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's suitable for just, you know, clean yourself up, man. Stay hygiened. Just quit playing, you know. Just clean yourself up, man. That's all you got to do. I mean, it's really not that deep. Just stay clean. Stay clean. Stay clean. Come on, stay clean. All right. Next, we have, let's do one more. Evan Tech Proud is about to come on. So let's do a couple of more questions, comments, hashtag Ask Chris. See, here's the thing. I don't stay home. I'm an essential. I'm a mental health specialist, so I go in the office every day. And you know, I'm a gym rat. You know, I like to go to the gym every day. Yeah, love the gym. And so I was wearing a mask for a little bit, but I definitely keep my space. I clean everything around me before and after, and don't be coming near me, okay? Don't be coming near me. I keep my distance. And that I work out at Planet Fitness, and they have pretty good rules and regs when it comes to social distancing. The machines, like the the cardio machines. You have to use every other. There's a lot of machines that are blocked off, so to keep social distancing. So it's cool in my neck of the woods, as far as me and my fam are concerned. Cool. All right. So yeah, we'll be talking about your car here in a bit. What else we got? Jason's not staying home. Been coughing for years. Welcome, Jason, to the PNP fam, y'all. All right. Any other Ask Chris questions? Oh, Dion, good question. Do we think it's going to see Seth Rollins versus Dominic Grayson? You know, there's a part of me, and I wrote this a while ago. I don't know where I wrote it. Maybe FanBuzz? I wrote an article when I was writing for FanBuzz saying, I think it may have been FanBuzz. I wrote an article for FanBuzz stating that I think that Dominic is going to turn on Ray. So this was months ago. This was earlier this year, actually. I think I had a plan out. I had a plan before Rona hit us. I had a plan, actually, for Dominic to turn on Ray. And, yeah, I think the plan was they win the tag titles at the Rumble because we saw Dominic with Ray. There was some momentum coming from Dominic being with Ray at Survivor Series when he went against Brock. And so I said, keep that momentum, have them win the tag titles at the Rumble, and then have some dissension, have Dominic turn on Ray, kind of bring back the I'm Your Poppy storyline back from back in the day, like 15 years ago. And yeah, so do that. You know, that's what I would have done. And then they have a match at WrestleMania. And Ray wins. And I said, Ray wins. And then Dominic goes to NXT and becomes a heel. So that was my kind of initial thoughts on Dominic. Now I think that Dominic can actually join Rollins' crew. I think that might be a good idea for Dominic. Because I think you kind of want to mold him to his own. I like that he's with Ray right now. I think he's getting that momentum from Ray, and I'm cool with it. But if you make him a heel, it would be interesting. I don't know if he's ready for that type of role yet, but he's a big dude. And I think he might can do it. I think at the end of the day, you still want to make him babyface because I don't think he's strong enough right now in his infancy to really carry a heel role. Because that's a big load to really be a strong heel. So I think what you do is you somehow Seth kind of goads Dominic to turn on Ray, and then maybe even a Ray Dominic thing at SummerSlam. I think at the end of the day, you eventually have Dominic reconcile with Ray. I think you eventually do that. Somehow you make that happen. Yeah, like Arrow, Travis Banks, and Jack Gallagher got released by WWE. You like NXT UK? Used to watch every week on WWE Network. Has a strong roster. Yeah, but it's, you know, there's a strong roster. See, there's a difference between a strong roster of people who can actually or are good in the ring, and their star power. They're not always mutual. They're not always compatible. They don't always work in tandem. There's a lot of good talent, but booking and then star power, just making stars, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. All right. See, here's the thing, Marissa. What's up, Gabe? Great to have you, man. I think that Seth as a face during his Intercontinental title run was really good. He was super over during his Intercontinental title reign a couple of years ago. Super over when he had like the hour long, when he had like the hour long match on Raw, like the Gauntlet. He was super over. That was one of the most over Seth Rollins moments. But his world title run last year was what really just made him go south. It wasn't really believable. I mean, Roman Reigns, it took him years to beat Brock Lesnar. It took him, 3 years to beat Brock Lesnar? And Seth Rollins does it twice in 1 year. And technically, he cast in the Money in the Bank at 31, so he technically beat him then, too. So it just wasn't believable, you know. And then what really turned the corner was the Bray thing, you know, the Fiend. People just were so bored with Seth. And then I think the pivot was him winning the number one contender battle royal in Raw. I think that was the pivot because people were just kind of like, I mean, like it just, people just wanted to see different. And I think for me, it was the kind of like the turning point for me too, when he won that number one contenders match on Raw to become the number one contender for Lesnar's title. It was just like, this wasn't working out. Phil Fox, my guy, Phil Fox. It's my guy. Dion, see you later, man. It's been great. Welcome. I'm glad that you were able to have fun with us on the PNP Nation. Oh, nice. Brock wrestled at Bismarck State College way back in the day in my home state of North Dakota. You know who have a really good killer Tim Brooks story would be my guy Black Bart. Old Black Bart would have a really, really good killer Tim Brooks story. I'm sure he would. You know who else would? Rod Price. Let me text Rod Price real quick. Let me message him. Probably sleep though. All right, so I just messaged Rod Price. Ask him if he has a good killer Tim Brooks story I can share on my show. More people, I'm cool with that. But Dijakovic, though, no. You need someone who kind of needs help being in a big spot. Like Austin Theory was really good. I mean, that's a really good addition. Murphy was the same way. Murphy is really, really good in the ring, but doesn't really have much charisma. So Murphy actually feeds off of Seth Rollins' charisma, right, with his character. Seth Rollins kind of bleeds into Murphy. Same thing with Austin Theory. Austin Theory, actually, when he was in Evolve, he had tons of character, but they didn't really do a good job in NXT as far as evolving his character. Dijakovic is a standalone guy. You know, he doesn't need to do that. If there's anybody, I'm thinking of people who would be who would fit in that role. I would say someone who's still like kind of like a mid-carder. There's a part of me that's saying Humberto Carrillo because his character's so bland. I don't know if he'll do it. You know, ALP, you know, definitely ALP when they come back. Well, one of them are injured. I think LP coming back. The LP was a really good call. So it's four people right now. It's only two. But when ALP, see, I think that's the, I don't think both of ALP should be out because one of them is injured, especially when it's a faction. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Marissa's asking, do you hear that people think that Randy Orton should have trained Dominic and not Ray? No, I didn't hear that. And I don't get the point. I mean, Ray should have trained him as his dad, and he's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer, just like Randy Orton is. Both of them are shoo-in Hall of Famer. So I don't necessarily understand that. All right. Evan's supposed to be on here now. He told me he's about to come on. So I'm not going to wait. Let's see what else we got. Flavor of the week, we're going to talk about Taker. I think we're just going to talk about Chikara today, and then we're going to go into the Flavor of the Week. We're actually going to go through all of the Undertaker matches or WrestleMania and see if that was a good call or it should have been somebody else. So that's going to be fun. Be sure, of course, hop on that Patreon. Hop on the Patreon and support your boy. All right. We have fun every single week, as you know. And absolutely. So, yeah, go to the Patreon. I'm doing some, making sure we got the headlines together. All right. So yeah, go there, patreon.com/pancakesandpowersams. Come on, man. Give your boy a donation. You know, we do this every single week. I do it for you. 431 straight episodes. Give your boy some love. Exactly. That's what I thought when I heard it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That doesn't make sense. Okay, I'm willing to rock with that. I'm definitely willing to rock with that. Shane Thorne and Brandon Vink, for sure. Yep, I'm cool with that. They need an identity and a character. Yep, they have that type of disciple. I mean, you're kind of making disciples, you know. And I think that that'll be a good fit. Good call, Alonzo. Good call on that. Robbie says, go with me on this. Aleister Black liked being in a dark room in the shadows. Bray likes the creepy future pay-per-view. Bring back Brawler and Romance with him. I would love that. And I actually wrote an article. I actually initially thought that Aleister Black should have won the Royal Rumble because I already had a feeling that it was going to be Drew and Brock anyways. And then Braun and Goldberg. But no, it was originally supposed to be Roman and Bray. That was the original. But I was like, you know what? Just do Roman and Goldberg, non-title. But I think adding the title made it better, actually. It made it more exciting. But I was like, yeah, I'd be cool with Black and Bray at WrestleMania. But I still think it was a little bit premature for Black to win the title. And I still wasn't a big fan of Bray, the Fiend, having the title. I just wasn't a big fan of it. But I think a non-title feud between them would be a good call for sure. Again, hashtag Ask Chris. There's lots of comments coming on here. Yeah. Thank you for being a model commenter, Marissa. Hashtag Ask Chris, do you hear WWE wants to make Bray and have many faces like Foley did? Yeah, I've heard of that. There's a part of me that is cool with that because, first of all, you're paying him to be on television. So what you do is you kind of make the Fiend come out in the times where, yes, you have to go real deep, real deep. And I think right now I'm cool with what we're seeing now with the storyline with Bray and Braun. You know, you have Firefly Funhouse Bray. He gets demolished. And now you're going to have Swamp Bray, you know, old school Wyatt family. Then that's a good thing, too. They're supposed to be making a stipulation. Supposed to be making a stipulation with that. So, you know, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. And then you bring back the Fiend. I think, like I said before last week, I think we should have the Fiend versus Braun at SummerSlam. I think right now you do Wyatt family. And you bring in the Fiend for SummerSlam, and you have it there. So I'm cool with it. Mo's asking, what do you think WWE's trying to compete with Fodder Facts and Rushing, making a Great American Bash special against AEW? I mean, it's business. I mean, you know, that's what you would want to do, right? I mean, you would want to have competition and, you know, go against them. I'm not opposed to WWE making that call. I get it. I get why. I mean, you know, you want to one up your competitor. I'm cool with it. The only thing is Great American Bash has such a rich legacy to it. My all-time favorite match is the Great American Bash 1990 when Sting won his first world title, or the NWA world title, against Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, Big Man. And so, yeah, there's rich history with that. And so just to kind of slap it on a Wednesday night, two-week thing, I think that's a bad call. I mean, find something else. You could have came back and, you know, you could have done like Beach Blast or something like that. You know what I mean? Just something that wasn't like necessarily as rich, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, there's so much rich history to Great American Bash. And if you want to do it, see, I would have done it just one night and I would have stacked the card up. I mean, I get it that you got to do it two nights just because you want to compete against Fyter Fest. I get it. But you make the Great American Bash so good that you make people want to come back the next week. And you have some cliffhangers and you have some huge turns that you want to come back. Make people want to come back the next week. So if you have a big old Great American Bash that's super stacked, you're going to want to make, you know, you're going to bring people back who are so used to the rich history of the Great American Bash. And you make that Great American Bash so good that you have people want to come back the next week. That's the solution to that. You don't just kind of slap the Great American Bash, and the card's not even solid. I mean, the card's I mean, it's not even a takeover card. It's not even. I mean, it's not very. I mean, you got EO and Sasha. That should be a good match, but I mean, all the other matches I can see on either NXT weekly episodes or maybe a takeover. It's not even as strong to be a takeover card. All right, last X-Force question before we jump into this headline. Marissa's asking, what do you think WWE is doing with Extreme Rules Horror Show since not one match doesn't have anything extreme to it? Yeah, I think you're going to make it a stipulation. From what I heard, there's supposed to be some big conglomerate, some big elaborate type of swamp setting for Bray and Braun. So it seems like the horror show is going to kind of be built around that. And then there's a stip, you know, the stip with McIntyre and Dolph too. So, I mean, I'm not sold on it yet. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I think y'all ready. Y'all ready to rock and roll. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring in the co-host with the most. He's here. He is live. Evan Tech Proud, how are you tonight, sir?
So good tonight. Just making it home. Sorry, I'm late, guys. I'm busy redecorating my house and take care of some other stuff, but I'm here. Hot take. Bring it on in. Is that Marissa? Is that Marissa the hot take?
Hot take. Yeah. Cool. All right. So we're gonna do one headline for this week and any other Ask Chris or Ask Evan questions that could be headline worthy. We want to talk about one thing today, and then we're gonna do the flavor of the week. We're gonna talk about all the taker matches at WrestleMania to see. Time permitting, we might do half of it this week, but I'm going to talk about the Taker matches to see if it should have been the match that was scheduled or it should have been a different match. So without further ado, I think I got one trivia question for you too. I got some, here we go. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch teamed up to defend the Universal and Raw Women's Championships against blank and blank at Extreme Rules 2019. Rollins and Lynch against who and who at Extreme Rules 2019. What is the answer to that? I got a trivia question for you. Against who and who? Which is a weird match. It was a weird match to me. Very, very weird match. Good job, Alonzo. Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. Really weird.
Where's Alonzo's avatar? I know why he did it. Yeah. I give him a pass.
Yeah.
Give you a pass, Alonzo.
Exactly.
I give you a pass, brother. I'm about to say.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he was about to get it.
He was. All things considered, he gets a pass.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, headlines, here we go. Chikara shuts down a promotion due to speaking out. I was just interviewing the bro, Vince Russo, on Sports Key.
The bro.
Yeah. And, he was making a good point. It's like, look, if you're innocent, you're innocent. You know, if you're guilty, obviously, you know, if you're making all these decisions, clearly, there's something going on here, you know. Yeah. For Mike Quakenbush to shut the whole company down.
Get home promotion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little spiffy, a little fishy there.
I still got a couple of buddies at work. I thought it was a joke. I had got three text messages. I just thought it was a joke from a meme. He was like, nah.
Yeah. I'm going to read some of the text.
COVID-19 is speak out.
COVID-19
is speak out.
That's what you said. Let's see. Trying to find out the tweets. Yeah, I'm trying to find the tweets, series of tweets that were a few people putting. All right, here we go. So Mike says, I've been aware of recent allegations about myself and my people and my employee. I'll take all allegations seriously. Whether they are about me or members of my team. Addressing these with openness and transparency is the utmost importance to me, so these matters can be given proper time and attention. I'm discontinuing Chikara, resigning as head trainer at the Whistle Factory. So that's the thing. He shut down Chikara and he resigned as head trainer at the Whistle Factory, which doesn't have anything to do with, you know, him running Chikara. So it's
makes you
wonder. I'll make a full statement on these matters in the near future. Of course, you know, I don't know. Of course, we don't know what happened. We weren't there. But as, you know, journalistic opinions, and that's what we're called to do here on the show, it just seems like he's admitting his guilt there. I mean, like, I was running a promotion, if I was a CEO of a promotion, and I had no awareness, if I didn't do it myself or if I had no awareness of it, I'd be off the hook. I'd be totally off the hook. But if I did it, or if I had awareness of others doing it, then I wouldn't be off the hook. You know what I mean? I'd be just as guilty. So, I'm not. It's a bit fishy of why he would make those type of decisions.
It's a very extreme sport.
Yeah.
If you were innocent, you know, why would you go to that extreme?
Yeah.
Well, and like I said, we don't know. Only he knows. But normally, when people start resigning, they start stepping down. Normally, because they're guilty or they have some sort of guilt.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, you wouldn't go through that. I would say, you know, in my life, you know this, Chris, that, you know, I first got accused of sexual assault 3 years ago. And it was false. I didn't resign from my job. It was awful with my students. And when it was brought up, of course, the guy was dismissed, found out it was a lie. You know, the lady was trying to set me up and a few other people and me, two other guys, and another girl. But I didn't go disappear. I don't know. I was innocent.
Yeah.
I had nothing to worry about. So right. Him there and sit down and see a trainer, that's a bit, that is very extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. Lonzo's asking, I'm not familiar with Chikara. Are there any big names that I would recognize? Claudio Castagnoli or Cesaro, Moxley.
Brody Lee.
Yeah, Brody there. Adam, I think Adam Cole was in Chikara.
I think he did a couple of matches, yeah.
Chikara
is a good promotion based more on like the comedy
aspect. Yeah, he was in Chikara. Yeah.
Comedy aspect, this Cole Cabana, of course, he's known for comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they would have it was real comedic, and they had like a trios thing every year. They had some really big names in their trios tournament every year.
That's right.
Yeah, they had some, and they had some big names come back. I know Pac. I know Pac, he was there. He was a part of the trios tournament. Let me check and see the trios. King of Trios. There were some really good people. So it started in 2007. So 2007, I'm just going to throw some names out of who were in it. So of course Trios was the tournament of all trios, you know, three man teams. Lince Dorado was there actually the first year. Team TNA was there. So that was Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, and Sanjay Dutt. Chuck Taylor was there. So they lost ice creams, and a very mysterious ice cream was Cesaro. Man, that guy's that's funny. 2008 had quite a bit. El Generico, Player Uno, Team ROH had it. The ROH had a team. One man team WWF, so that was one man gang, and then Demolition. That was they were in the Trios Championship in 2008. 2009. Team PWG, so that was the Young Bucks and El Generico or Sami Zayn. Team Uppercut was Dave Taylor, Castagnoli and Brian Danielson. Colin Delaney was on there. D'Lo, Al Snow, Glacier. Yeah. So, I mean, that was just the first 3 years. And so, yeah, they're pretty solid. The first 3 years, they're pretty solid. Pretty solid. Gargano, he was there.
About an NXT, Kurt Robinson. Yeah, a couple games been on Chicago, Ring of Honor, NXT, Impact.
Yep.
And
1-2-3 Kid was there on 2011. Yeah, he was a part of Team Minnesota.
Is that where he was at when he saw his butthole?
I don't remember what event it was, but I do.
It was a run at time, man.
I think it was just an indie show.
Yeah.
And it split his butthole. His rectum. Okay. Split it up. All right. Got some Ask Chris questions before we go to the Flare of the Week. Let's see. Ask Evan, you and Chris tagged up. How would you turn on Chris and cost him a chance of being the champion?
Easy, just give him some sleeping pills. No physical altercation either.
Yeah.
Give him a little rope dope, some sleeping pills, or give him a huge depressant, have him sleep before dancing. Wake up a day or so later. Being a champion, he's waking up, leaving his shot. I got that mindset, you know. I think about all creative ways to get people
set. Yeah.
You know, the classic is was the Class of the Champions Flans thing.
Yeah, has to be through a hot tag.
Watch out,
go on.
Let you get you like that right there. You playing shot. Bang.
Yeah, that would be super funny, man. Super duper funny. All right. What company would Tessa Blanchard benefit more from being in AEW or WWE main roster? They both could use her in the women's main event scene now. I think AEW, just because Tully's there. I think if Tully managed her and Sean Spears,
that'd be cool.
I think it'd be cool. I'd be much more sold on Sean Spears. So
yeah. AEW definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, because they're women.
Yeah.
And not that WWE is really in a better place, but at least they still got some kind of notable stars that WWE has notable people. They just kind of like pushed them down.
I just don't see Tessa fitting in with WWE. I think she'd fit in perfectly with AEW. Her father is there.
And even if I wasn't there, just the atmosphere there, she will fit. She can be a soul. AEW needs definitely star power for the women. And Britt Baker, which is the biggest star, she's injured. Now the Rose, Riho is like 79 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing against her, but what's the alien chick? Oh, Statlander.
Yeah, she's injured. Yeah. Her. I liked her too.
Yeah, I like her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yep. Why do you think Impact released Tessa? Her racist issues are just hard to work with. I don't know why she was released. From what I heard, she was just hard to work with. She was supposed to send, you know, her and Drago are dating or engaged, I believe. And I think she was in Mexico and was there was having some just they just weren't really eye to eye, and her contract was up to expire, and her contract was up to expire, and and then she was supposed to send a video to kind of promote the match that she was supposed to be in for a Slammiversary, and she just refused to do that. So
look at the world title picture. There, you got what we had before Drew. You know, Drew's our boy. Braun Strowman. You just forget he's even champ. Danny, you know, Danny boy. He has COVID-19, we're pretty sure. So he has to be taken off of Tesla. And Ring of Honor is default with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird with the title picture.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed weird. All right. So let's do this without further ado, ladies and gentlemen. Flavor of the Week. But before we go to Flavor of the Week, I got a certain message for my guy Evan over here.
Wow! That's my line!
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 Come on! Come on! We're stealing it!
That's Flair's line. He's told about 10 of Flair's lines.
That's my line!
That's my line!
It's my line!
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
Wow.
That's my eye.
Oh,
and,
man.
I told Sean Benjamin this at a convention a couple years ago. Flair was, he had to fight him when he was doing his show. He called him, you know, Flair's a little Shoshin. Shoshin, Benjamin! favorite Flair promo that's not famous? He was, it was a sad, WCW Saturday night had to be a pro. He was leading up to him and Hogan. I think we were Bash at the Beach, cage match, or Halloween Havoc, one of them. Halloween Havoc was a cage match. And out the blue, he didn't say, I was like, Thunder Lips! He just starts. That's like the Flash.
Oh man,
EJ.
He's
Ooh,
got
James.
Me. Woo! By God, Gene. I remember one of his promos on. Oh God, I'm not even gonna say it. I'm not gonna say it. Because you know, there's so many, you know, it's so
sad. Hey, man, it didn't go with him. The infamous one, he stripped down to his underwear.
Yeah, and then would elbow drop the
canvas.
The canvas. That was funny. All right, so we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about Undertaker matches that should have been different. and we're going to go through all of the Undertaker matches. Say that again.
Did you know WWE acts like WrestleMania 12, 13, and 17 of
exist. Yeah. All right, so let's start off with WrestleMania 7 versus Superfly. Super.
Right, Daddy.
I say no. I actually wrote in my article. I think this should have been Andre the Giant. That's a dream match that never happened. Like Rock and Michaels, like Taker and Sting. That won't happen. Taker's retired, so we will not see Taker Sting.
So far.
And we will not see it.
Anchor is now downloadable content officially.
Yes, indeed.
DLC. You will download and then leave it.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't forget,
yeah, this was funny. Rock. Fiery! I'm already fire.
Yeah, I'm already,
Danny says, I can kiss any girl in here. Even that fat one to make him cry. How long have I had this new set? Probably
is that Brett in the picture?
A few months. Yeah, it does look like Brett. Doesn't
it? It's Brett. They gotta get used to him having gray hair and it's dry.
Right.
Brett's hair was always white.
Real
quick, still keep Terry Funk and Fred. It's Terry Funk's birthday. Thank you, Shane.
Yes, indeed.
Your buddies with Mandy Fernandez. You know, Funker is his talent isn't the best, and of course we're losing the love of his life. So
yeah.
Last year I believe.
Six.
Yeah, doesn't even help to keep Funker and Fred. He's not on the deathbed or anything. He's older.
Yeah.
Falcon is the best. So keep him here. I check on Funker at least once a week. Snooker, I mean, it was all right.
It was a pointless. It was worthless and pointless, man. It was just. It was supposed to build up Taker.
Yeah.
But you know, it just. Like I said, it should have been Andre. I mean, we've never saw
that. Should have been.
Made us a dream match. It should have been Andre.
And that was one of the best clotheslines Taker did. You know how Snooker sell it? You play. Oh God.
Yeah.
Snooker would fall. He would do this.
Yeah. Right.
like a cackle, just
right.
kill an insect with a spray. That's how far away when he would get up.
Oh man. Jake, it's at 8. I was cool. I was definitely cool.
Was cool.
Yeah, I think the storyline was good. I think you know Taker was becoming Taker so, became babyface. I was cool with this.
I didn't agree. I never agreed with the ending. I'm getting three DDTs outside. Yeah, when Jake got Team Soul on the chair got Team Soul outside, he got rolled in the ring and got took.
Yeah.
So Jake kind of talked about psychology of it.
Nine was the worst. Giant Gonzalez, absolutely not.
That
was, and it's crazy because he debuted within I think a couple months. He debuted in January and competed against Taker in April, so it was like less than 3 months. That he got into that spot. It was a bad call, man. It was a really bad call. He looked, as a kid, yes, he looked intimidating. Yes, he was a foe to the Undertaker. But I don't know. Speaking of that, I think I'm gonna watch this again. It's in my library here.
Doing a hot take.
What's that?
Doing a hot take. She's doing a hot take.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Streak DVD. Yeah.
20-0.
Yeah. I think I'm going to watch
this. What is he now?
23-2, I think. I think 23-2. I think he's been at 25 WrestleManias. Might be 24. No, he was 20-0. Let me see. He lost. He was, 21 before he lost it, right? He was
21-1 when he lost to Brock.
Yeah, Brock ended. He was 21-1. And then that was 30, and he's been at 5 of the last 6. 31 was Bray. 32 was Shane. 33 was
Roman.
It was Roman. That was a loss. 34 was what was 34?
Cena.
Cena, yeah. And last year was nobody. today, and this year was AJ. So, yeah, so that was my Taker DVD. All right, so let's run through a few more here. King Kong Bundy at 11.
Good storyline. The match was as good as you want to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to having like him going against Big Man. I'm not opposed to it, but it just seems like, I mean, you know, and I think King Kong Bundy, you know, he's a legendary name, but when they brought him back and, you know, being the part of the Million Dollar Corporation, I think it was, I guess maybe, but I think it was a little too little too late, honestly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if who would you put there? Who would you put there in, back in 95? You had Bam Bam LT. You had Luger and Luger and Bulldog against the Blues Brothers?
Yeah, Blues Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Light Powers. Yep.
That was the best you was going to get it because everybody else was tied up. Yeah, they could have Gaddy Liga from the Royal Rumble game with Genesis. Shut up. Yeah, yeah.
Harden Backlund was a it was good on paper, but that match was less than 10 minutes long.
The match from was it the Rumble?
Kevin Green was there too.
Robinson's match was a lot better.
Oh yeah, definitely. Diesel and Shawn Michaels, LT and Bam Bam. Yuckas.
Guilty Tonka, man. It could have been taken Heel
Tatanka. Oh no. Oh my gosh. Heel Tatanka was the worst.
Which one? The 95 version or the re-re-re-introduction of Tatanka and
the one who came back to SmackDown.
The face thing, yeah.
Oh, both of
white
them.
White and black.
Bad. It's horrible. That was around the same time when they brought Animal in too. And they were tag team champs, and Animal came back to the heel. And I was just, and he started wearing like biker stuff, and it was just odd. It was just,
he had the face paint like an evil Native American.
Yeah.
And he wore the biker stuff, and it's like, he's still huge. He's still, that's a big dude. Nice guy.
Sid 13 for sure. Diesel 12, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm surprised. I'm trying to figure out the storyline that came between that, because that wasn't even for the title. At 12.
You talking about Diesel?
Yeah.
Remember, Diesel called taking the belt at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Remember, he went against Brett.
Yeah.
Diesel's one of the first times you actually Diesel flipped him off. He actually put the middle finger up and he got at Rumble.
Yep.
He was like, I ain't scared of you. So Diesel cost Taker the title shot. So that made Taker Diesel a fight, which gave him Michaels and Brett.
Michaels and Brett, yeah.
I remember that. I was like, wait, he put his middle finger out. That was like big back in the day.
I remember that.
He didn't even bleep it. He just was like this.
Yeah.
He zoomed in on him like, you right. Heard what they, I know what they're saying. Go back and watch it.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, we can't repeat it. But,
Robbie, yeah. I really liked all of your comments until this one here. You broke. Speaking of streaks, you broke the streak on this type on this comment. I think no way. This is funny. Why did
Lou
put his two fingers? He would do it like this.
Yeah,
because you know. When you have me going against the Blue Brothers, I tell you that I will be sure to take them and put them in the rack.
Oh, also, wait. Don't forget you got to do the Luger. Because he will always start his interviews like this.
Yeah.
Watch. You do this. Get
and traps together. And then he...
You know, James.
I tell you what. I tell you this. And I'll tell you why.
Remember that? I don't know. Singer. I'm speaking of hot tag. Remember that?
Singers like this.
Speaking of hot tag.
Like, I'm a loser. And I know.
Speaking of hot tag. That War Games. Singer.
Yeah.
Out and, okay, we're starting with a foot.
Oh, Singer. Man, two figure Luger promos, man. That was hilarious.
He no sold the leg drop.
Yeah.
No sold the scorpion. And with the chokehold. But he sold the stomp to the head by Scott.
Right. Oh.
Niggas sold with the leg drop.
Right. Oh, poor Lexi. Poor Lexi.
Yeah, good point, Lexi. What was that, Lonzo? Good point, Lonzo.
Yeah. All right, so let's do a few more.
Oh, the job interview like that.
Next, we got Sid. Yeah, Sid was dope.
Wasn't Kane. The
guy no, it wasn't actually.
That's what Brett kept me
at Kane at 14.
That was great.
Yep. Bossman at 15 was really weird. Both were heels. It was the corporation versus the versus the ministry. And as far as I remember, so Austin was in the mix, and then Taker basically said, Taker had left to be injured. He was injured or something like that. He took some little time off, and then he came back to take control of the WWE. And
and
Vince was like, "Okay, so the Big Boss Man," like he kind of ordered the Big Boss Man to go against Taker at
WrestleMania. Like he did, Shane.
It was weird.
Yeah, the big boss, the big boss.
Lex Hall of Fame. Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Better do it quick.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying it, but he's doing okay. But I mean, why wait? He should have been.
Yeah, I think he should have been in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a lot of people that got in before Lex. And Lex should have been.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more. We got Triple H at 17. Yeah, oh yeah.
Man, that was one of my favorites.
That was one of the best. Yeah, that was one of the best Taker streak matches.
And it's the GOAT.
Time.
GOAT,
maybe. 17 is still the GOAT. Absolutely.
So what's the second GOAT? No, I say 19. 33 was the DLC. 33 didn't matter. Remember, 33 is OVA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything that happened to 33 didn't matter.
33 was it was on the top, and the stipulation was if Taker comes back, it falls down the ratings, and so that's
Taker
that's
came what back.
Yeah,
like 8 times.
Right. So I think see, 19.
Cena proposed. Remember.
The only time I wouldn't say 19, the only thing that keeps me away from 19 is Triple H beating Booker T. That's the only thing that keeps me away from 19.
Okay, yeah, but the commentary was still great.
Yeah.
Flair there was still, even though how in the cream cheese, you get pedigreed and you lay there for like 15 minutes and you still ain't kick out. Like, watch it. He got pedigree.
Right.
He got like three, like a whole cup of noodles. 3 minutes of cup of noodles. And then he was Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah. It just.
But Triple H kicked out of the Hall of Hangover.
That really took me away from 19. I mean, like, everything else, super dope. I mean, Lesnar, Angle, good stuff. Even from the very beginning. Mysterio and Hardy.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And so, everything else about 19 was solid, but I mean that really left a really bad taste in 19.
Would you put 2A? Would it be 30?
See, 30 has a bad taste because it's streak ending.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
My homeboy just texted me, said 20. But that Cruiserweight Battle Royal.
Jericho lost to 20.
Jericho lost to 20.
Yeah.
Cruiserweight Battle Royal with Ultimate Dragon Slip.
Yeah, that was odd.
We can talk about that next week. What is this? Yeah. If 19 isn't the second goal, what is?
Yeah, the second best wrestler.
Oh, 21.
21 was that Taker and Batista?
No, 21 was Taker Orton.
Taker Orton, yeah.
Angle Michael.
22 was Taker Batista, and 23 was Taker Edge. Right?
Somewhere between those. 21 was up there.
Big time was
21. No, Big Time was 22.
21 was Hollywood. Yeah.
21 was Hollywood.
Big Time was decent.
Yeah, Big Time, yeah.
Big Time was decent. Let me see. Big Time was Big Show and Kane against Carlito and Masters, RV the Money in Bank match, JBL beating Chris Benoit, Edge and Mick Foley, that was really good. Oh, Boogeyman beating Boogie and Charmel.
Man, he was on a roll. Yeah. God, you the luck.
Right. It was good until the handicap match between, and he was just kind of handicap match between the Boogeyman against Booker T and Charmel.
Oh, don't forget, my buddy pointed this out. League of Legends never fell flat. His knees was always up. I never noticed that. He doesn't even watch wrestling to say that.
Oh,
like, wait, why is League's knees always up in right. the head? It never falls flat.
Oh, man. All right, y'all. It's been fun. It's been fun as always. Next, we'll talk about. You know what? This is a really good point, Alonzo. Booker T never had a WrestleMania moment.
He fought for Shampoo against Edge.
Oh,
yeah. Remember that? Was it 18?
That was terrible. Yeah, that was 18.
Lost the trip.
Yep.
When did he wrestle again? Wasn't he in a Money in the Bank match or something?
Yeah, he was in. He was in Money in the Bank at was it 21? I think he was in Money in the Bank. We should go through all of the Booker T WrestleMania matches next week. It was
one league segment.
He wasn't on. He was in the pre-show, and he won the Interpromotional Battle Royal. All right, it's time to go. It's time to go. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. To answer all my questions, I have no memory. Never met Kevin Tim Brooks. I know she asked earlier.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Of course, you know people have. Oh, by the way, Friday, my 8-year anniversary. TMR. 8 years. What are you for the song? Nine years and three months.
Yep.
8 years for me.
Cool. All right, everybody. It's been wonderful. This has been a wonderful, wonderful show. As always, be sure to go to patreon.com/pancakesandpowerslams. Look, here's the thing. After all the people who listen to this live last week, let me see how many we had last week. Last week we had let me find out. I'm gonna see what we had last week. We had a total of 7,700 viewers last week. So yeah. Look, for all those viewers, go to patreon.com/pancakesandpowerslams. Give the show some love. Obviously, I'll do it for you, and I'll make it happen every week. So show me some love. Until last week, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Evan Tech Prout, on behalf of Evan Tech Prout, I am Chris Featherstone. Be sure to go to patreon.com/pancakespowersams for the Pancakes Power Slam Show 431. Be sure to go, and I'll go to Booker T on behalf of the Booker Man. Until next week, for your brick and wrestling, God bless you. Always remember, I'll do it for you. Have a good night, everybody. Did I?
We gotta go.
No, I'm sorry. No.